Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hand and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." And he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hand, and bring your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to them, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. I once asked my mother a question long after I became a priest. I asked my mom, "Did grandma and grandpa ever have priests over for dinner when you were growing up?" My mother said, "Oh, never." I said, "Why? Why?" My mom said, "Because they would have been intimidated." Now, I'll never forget how it felt as a relatively new priest to hear my mom say that. I know, yes, it was a different time. My grandparents, just probably from my family, they were 100% Slovak. Very serious people with a more European way of life, no matter how many years they were here in the States. My grandfather was from Slovakia, having fled the communists to come here. My grandma wasn't from PA. They're very old school here in different ways. My grandfather had no schooling beyond the third grade in Europe. My grandmother, she had a weak heart because of two bouts of rheumatic fever back before people had penicillin. She never even learned to drive, and she worked in the home as a homemaker and a mother. My grandpa was a steel worker, a hard worker, a man's man, and although less educated, he was wise and always a gentleman. They both were devout Catholic people, basic, simple people with no pretense about them. So yes, it was a different time. I don't know how they saw themselves, how they saw the church, it was a different time. But it was still bothering me. It made me angry to think and to wonder that maybe priests back then did something to make themselves unapproachable. Maybe not all the priests, but another one. And I fear also that years ago, too many lay people might have had a harsh and distorted image of God, Jesus as a tyrant, instead of a loving Savior. So I'm not kidding. For example, from the 17th century through the early 20th century, especially in Europe, it was not unusual for Catholics to only receive communion a few times a year. Why? Well, because of the fear of not being in a state of grace. Not actual knowledge of mortal sin and of going to confession, but the fear that one might be unprepared and therefore better to be saved than not received. This was a problem. One of the reasons Pope Pius X lowered the age of communion from 14 to 7 to encourage people as little ones to receive frequently, and then the little ones grew up to be adults. And it worked. Not completely, but it worked. Well, what I was just describing about hanging back and not receiving for whatever reason, this is called scrupulosity. Scrupulosity comes from pride, and back then and now can deepen people's distorted image of Jesus. But then and now, God always cares for his people. God cares for his church. The Holy Spirit guided the church, guided our church, to pay closer attention to Scripture. And he also inspired great saints to remind us of the bountiful, beautiful mercy of God. first for the gospel. You think about it. If we fear to approach Jesus, remember how the risen Jesus approaches his disciples. Remember, showing them his hands and his feet. The gospel tells us, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And as we know, Jesus breathes on them. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained. You know what we just heard? This is the seed of sacrament reconciliation. Remember this. If any of your pastor friends ever question you, or maybe give you a hard time, and say, well, I don't know why you Catholics have to go to a priest. I just know God in my heart. Oh, I'm sorry. Jesus, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. How can the disciples forgive sins in the name of Jesus unless they hear it? And that hearing of sins is confession. Now, what it looked like in confessional boxes and the theology developed over centuries, but it's scriptural. And that's how much Jesus loves his disciples and us. He wanted this gift of forgiveness for them, for their people, and for all time. Notice what Jesus doesn't say. He doesn't say, where were you? It broke my heart. You ran away. Why did you abandon me? The Lord holds no grudges against the disciples. Of course, he holds no grudges against us. Secondly, Jesus raised up different saints to remind people of his rich, merciful heart. Just briefly, we have St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, a 17th century French mystic, to whom Jesus revealed his sacred heart as a symbol of God's love for his people. And this was intentional on the Lord's part to help people realize he's not a tyrant. Can't approach it on the sugar. And of course, St. Faustina Kowalska, a young Polish, largely uneducated nun in a convent of the Congregation of the Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy in Krakow, Poland in the 1930s. Faustina came from a poor farming family that became even poorer coming out of the experience of the First World War. Like my grandfather, Sister Faustina only had 3 years of formal schooling. So, in the convent, the way it worked then, she was given the humblest of tasks, jobs to perform, usually in the kitchen or in the garden. So think about it. This basic, humble Polish nun received extraordinary revelations or messages from Jesus. She might have been the least educated lady in the entire convent, but Jesus doesn't appear to the Mother Superior. Appears to the little Faustina. The Lord asks Sister Faustina to record her experiences, which she did in her notebooks. And these notebooks became her famous and very special diary. The risen Jesus shows the disciples, including God and Thomas, his hands and his feet, so that they all can bring the love and mercy of God to people weighed down by sins. The divine mercy of God is infinite. And our Lord Jesus is no lion. The image of divine mercy, to my right, the image of divine mercy illustrates God's generosity, the water and blood flowing from our Lord's side. Jesus longs to give us his mercy, but he's a gentleman. He'll only give it to us if we want to receive it. St. Faustina spent time with the Lord Jesus. In her work, in her kind of kitchen, in her garden, Jesus approached Faustina, and Faustina approached Jesus. I hope this special feast day of divine mercy deepens your and our understanding of what it means to fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord is different. It's not abject human fear. It's not the fear of violence. It's not, like I see sometimes, often in the hospital, as a chaplain, people fearing illness, fearing a bad diagnosis, fearing a death. It's not that. Fear the Lord is not like fear of driving at night. We don't fear the Lord as a tyrant, but as the awesome God who can't even bear to imagine. You think about it. The more you love someone, the more hurtful it is to even think about hurting someone. We love God most of all, so that intensity is at the heart of the fear of the Lord. Purely human fear degrades us. It isolates us from other people. Fear of the Lord, on the other hand, in gratitude for God's mercy. mercy, these unite us. We see this in the Acts of the Apostles that the community of believers is of one heart and mind, having a common. Now think about it. These believers can only have everything in common if they already share a common trust in Jesus. We can only be of one heart and mind, godless, unless we truly believe that God's mercy does endure forever. Human fear often derives from the fear of loss. Loss of health, loss of life, loss of money, loss of position, reputation, status, and humanity. In the world, it pushes in that direction. The desire to win and not to lose, and as the world can distract us from that victory that Jesus has already won over sin and death. Great victory by him for us. And as St. John reminds us, the victory that conquers the world is our faith. And faith is a gift from God. It's not something we figure out intellectually and then leave it later. It's a gift. My dear parishioners, please try to see yourselves as Jesus sees you. As beloved children of God, his adopted children, not dependent on pride. And if you are scrupulous, if you're tempted to scrupulosity, or you struggle with it spiritually, you're not alone. But don't panic. Just ask Jesus to free you from this burden. And if it happens occasionally, try to embrace it as a kind of mental suffering. We all have something. The Lord gives us different crosses to lean into. And for some people, it's scrupulosity and kind of mental anxiety that can afflict, especially the very devout. But just trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. Don't depend on anybody's strength. And finally, pray for us priests that we never do or say anything to distort the image of God. I repeat, please pray for us priests that we never do or say anything to distort the image of God. Pray for yourselves that you make your lives an invitation, perpetual invitation to approach Jesus as our Lord and our friend, as our Savior and our brother, but never in our as a tyrant. Jesus, we trust you. Give thanks to the Lord because he's good, united in the joy of the resurrection, and has now turned to the Father with our prayer.
That on this Divine Mercy Sunday, the Church will rededicate herself to living and proclaiming Christ's mercy. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord.
Amen.